This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, إن شاء الله we'll continue from where we left off, which was the hadith. First of all, باب الحيض, which is the chapter on menstruation, باب الحيض. And the hadith that we're speaking about right now is عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن فاطمة بنت أبي حبيش سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت إني أستحاض فلا أطهر. She said, Fatima bint Hubayy, she says, إني أستحاض. It means I have, الاستحاضة is, first of all, you have حيض, which is very well known, meaning in terms of its color, texture, and smell. And then there's also bleeding that continues. So she says, I continue to have bleeding, فلا أطهر, and it never ends. أفعدع الصلاة, do I abandon prayer altogether? قال لا, إن ذلك دم عرق. She said no. He said no. So the Prophet ﷺ said no. Indeed, this is دم عرق. This is considered blood that's coming from actually the vessel, which is not, you know, there's blood that comes from the womb, right? And then there's blood that comes from the vessel, blood vessel, which means دم عرق is like the blood vessel, which is, you know, the bleeding is not menstrual bleeding. Bleeding is another, it's caused by another reason. It's for another reason. And ولكن دعي الصلاة. So when the Prophet ﷺ says, ولكن دعي الصلاة, do not pray, leave the prayer, قدر الأيام التي كنت تحيضين فيها. Leave the prayer, the amount of days that you used to have حيض therein. ثم اغتسلي وصلي, then have made ghusl and then pray. And so based on this particular hadith, there are a couple of things. We know that there's two types of blood. So one that comes from the womb, that's the menstrual blood, and you know, on a regular cycle, a woman will have that, and some women have it longer than others. But there's also some people that the bleeding is continuous. So the Prophet ﷺ tells her, she's asking, do I not pray at all? Because there's always bleeding. And then so the Prophet ﷺ said, no, you should pray. Like in da'i salat, the day, don't pray on the days التي كنت تحيضين فيها. التي كنت تحيضين فيها. On the days that you used to have your menstrual blood, then don't pray therein. In other words, most women have a regular cycle. So it's very well known to them, where they know that it's 5 days, 6 days, or 7 days. So in her case, before she had this bleeding, this irregular bleeding, how many days did she not pray that she have menstrual blood? So the Prophet ﷺ says, go back to the default. And then any remaining days, then you make ghusl and then you pray. In other words, you make ghusl and you pray for each prayer. So that's based on this particular hadith. And we're going to go through the next hadith also because it's connected. Then we'll come back to some of the rulings related to that, inshallah. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ, and in another narration, وَلَيْسَتْ بِالْحَيْضَةِ, this is not menstrual bleeding, the Prophet ﷺ said. فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَتِ الْحَيْضَةِ, when menstruation comes, فَتْرُكِ الصَّلَاةِ فِيهَا, when menstruation comes, then don't pray in those days. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ قَدْرُهَا, but when the amount of days is gone, the amount of days of menstruation is gone, so فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ قَدْرُهَا, meaning the amount of days that she normally has in her cycle, فَغْسِلِ عَنْكِ الدَّمْ, wash the blood off, وَصَلِّ, and then pray. And so this is what the Prophet ﷺ ordered. And so this is a particular issue that that some sisters have, but what we have here is called al-istihada. So a woman who is in the state of who has istihada, which means irregular bleeding, al-mustahada thalathat halat. There are three cases and incidents of al-istihada. What are her situation? Al-halat al-ula, the first situation, the first case, ayakuna lah hayd ma'lum qabla istihada. So the first case is what we just mentioned a few minutes ago, is that she has a specific day, a regular day. That means there's a specific amount of days that she has menstrual bleeding. فهذه ترجع إلى مدة حيضها المعلومة السابق. So this first condition, she looks back at the amount of days that she used to have, and then she stops praying or she leaves prayer during those days. فتجلس فيها. In other words, she doesn't pray therein. And of course, in those days, she follows the same ruling as the ruling of a woman who's in her menses. Okay? And of course, if the person has a specific day, the other days of the remaining days, of course, the remaining days is considered istihada. And what is istihada? So, the days that she has, let's say she has 7 days that she normally has menses. So she doesn't pray for 7 days, and on the eighth day, then she prays. Because even if it's still bleeding, because that bleeding is considered dam al-istihada. That means that it's irregular bleeding. It's not the menstrual bleeding that a woman stops praying. And so the فَيَثْبُتْ لَهَا أَحْكَامُ الْمُسْتَحَادَ. So the ruling relating to al-istihada applies to her, which is what? Which is, for every prayer she makes wudu, for each prayer. And then she can pray the prayer and everything, all the prayers that's connected to it. And then she does the same thing for the next prayer. Meaning she can't hold her wudu for two prayers. Like for each prayer, like for us, for normal, you know, in normal circumstances, let's say I made wudu for Dhuhr. I didn't go to the bathroom. I didn't break my wudu for Asr. I can still come and pray Maghrib, Asr and Maghrib with that one wudu. Al-Mustahada, a person who has istihada, they have to make wudu for each prayer. And the same person, remember we said if someone has, when someone has urinary incontinence, so the same thing applies to her. So, like I mentioned, this is of course based on the hadith of Fatima bint Hubaysh, which we just mentioned when she said, Ya Rasulullah, inni wastahadu fala athur fala afa'adu salat. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling her, وَلَكِنْ دَعِي صَلَةَ قَدْرَ الْأَيَّامَ الَّتِي كُنْتِ تَحِيضِينَ فِيهَا. So the fact that the Prophet said, don't pray on the days that you normally would have menses. Right? And then after that, you make your ghusl. So just like a woman who her hayd ends, she makes the ghusl and then she prays like the normal prayer. In another hadith in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet said, he said to Habiba, أُمْكُثِي قَدْرَ مَا كَانَتْ ما كانت تحبسك حيضتك ثم اغتسلي وصلي امكثي قدر ما كنت ما كانت تحبسك. So the amount of, the Prophet said, remain, in other words, don't pray the amount of time that your hayd used to have, and then after that, so in other words, this is a woman who has a normal cycle, a previous cycle that's well known. So she goes back. So the default is, when it comes to menstruation, is that if a woman knows her normal cycle, any irregularities, she goes back to the default. And the default changes if there's, you know, if it happens like for a certain amount of days, it could change. Sometimes that 5 becomes 7, or sometimes a 7 becomes a 5. But normally, a woman will have a specific amount of days that she has. The second situation, so we said that's al-halat al-ula. Al-halat al-thaniya, alla yakuna laha haydun ma'lum qabla al-istihada. So this is for a woman who does not have a regular cycle that's known. So she never had a regular specific cycle that's always the same all the time. بأن تكون الاستحاضة مستمرة بها من أول ما رأت الدم من أول أمرها. So this is, for example, a woman who has, as soon as she sees bleeding, the bleeding from the beginning of her menses, she's always bleeding. There's always some type of bleeding, right? So what do you do in this particular case? Because you can't say, okay, go back to your normal cycle. She never had a cycle before. She just started bleeding, and it's continuous, and it's always continuous. When I say it's continuous, it doesn't mean that it's always heavy, and sometimes it's just there all the time. The presence of it is always there. So, فَهَذِهِ تَعْمَلْ بِالتَّمْيِيزِ. So this person, she has to try to distinguish. التَّمْيِيزِ, meaning to distinguish the type of blood. فَيَقُونَ حَيْضُهَا مَا تُمَيُّزْ بِسَوَادْ وَغِضَّةْ أو رائحة يثبت له أحكام الحيض. So this is a person. So for women, they know what type. They know that their menstrual blood has a specific smell, specific texture, and specific also color. Right. So generally, menstrual blood is black, dark. It's dark, dark red, like dark red or darkish red. And it's also much more thick than normal blood. You know, when somebody gets a cut, that blood usually flows and it's very thin, but not the thick type. So generally, if she can distinguish, so she says, okay, I can see that this blood, because of the smell also, and so I can see by the texture, the smell, and the color, that it's menstrual blood. So if she can distinguish that, then the time that she sees, if she knows and she recognizes this as menstrual blood, based on the characteristics of menstrual blood, then she would stop praying in those days. And then in the days, the rest of the days, she would then be, even though she might, the bleeding might still be continuous, but it would be considered al-istihada, which means this is just irregular bleeding. So, like I mentioned, an example of that, if she sees for the very first time and it continues, for example, she sees 10 days, and these 10 days she can tell that the color is dark, it's black type, and the other days, the first 10 days she says, oh, this is dark, and the rest it's red. And so then in this case, she would be able to recognize. So she would not pray the first 10 days and the next 20 days and the rest of the month. She would pray even though she is still bleeding. So that's a person who has istihada. Also, she can also recognize because of the smell, based on the smell also. And a person can also recognize because of the texture also. So this is hadith of Fatima again bint Hubaysh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha kana damu al-hayda fa innahu aswad yu'raf." So in other words, this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling her Fatima bint Hubaysh, "Idha kana damu al-hayda, if it's menstrual blood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fa innahu aswad, because it's black." Yu'raf, it's known. It's black and well known. What do you mean? What does he mean by well known? Notice that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very, very, he's very eloquent, but at the same time he's very shy. Even when he's speaking about this, what does he mean? It's well known. He doesn't want to mention things that are like might cause like it to be embarrassed. Well known meaning there's a smell. It has a specific, distinct smell. So when he says that, she understands. The woman understands also. Yu'raf. Damu aswad. Black. Yu'raf. Known. Known by what? Known by the smell. Yu'raf. فَإِذَا كَانَ ذَٰلِكَ And if you see that it's like that, meaning that those characteristics, so he tells her, he says, فَأَمْسِكِ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ Then start praying when you see that. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْآخَرِ But if you see the other type of blood, فَتَوَضَّعِ وَصَلِّي فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ عِرْقٍ He said, pray and make wudu and then pray as you would normally pray because that فَإِنَّهُ عِرْقٍ Because that's the blood that's coming from the vessel, not from the womb itself. You know, because of when a woman reaches the age of puberty, her, you know, the egg is released every single month. And if it's not fertilized, then of course all of the blood, which would be the nutrients for the baby and everything like that, that gets released also. And then a new cycle starts. And so that blood is found in the womb, but the other type is found in the, it's because of a type of sickness and so forth. And in that case, it's just like a person having urinary incontinence where they can't hold their urine. And so the same ruling applies to them. And this particular hadith of Fatima bint Hubaysh in Sunan Abi Dawood and Ibn Hibban and Hakim and Sunan al-Nasa'i also, some of the scholars have mentioned the strength of the actual narration itself, meaning the sanad, the chain, and the text of the hadith itself. There may be some contradictions and weaknesses in it, but وَعَمِلَ بِهِ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهِ But the scholars have applied this particular hadith in terms of its usage, in terms of its usage. And some scholars have mentioned, okay, if she doesn't have anything, then she should look at all the women in her area and how many do they normally have, like how many days, right? So there's some scholars are of the opinion that because it's always bleeding and she doesn't have a regular cycle, she has to find a regular cycle. And what is that regular cycle? It's people her age, the average days of the people in her area. So she asks her friends, hey, how long is your menstrual cycle? One says 10, the other one says 5, another one says 6, another one says 7, another one says 3, 4, 3. Okay, let's make it the average generally is around 5. So she says it's 5 there. And that's what some scholars have mentioned. But the stronger opinion seems to be Allahu A'lam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that if she can recognize and distinguish the different types of blood, then she should do that, inshallah. So that's the first, that's the second situation. Second situation, she has no specific specific cycle amount or a specific days that she is used to having her menses before, you know, a previous menstrual day and days that she doesn't have. So the third is أَلَّا يَكُونَ لَهَا حَيْضٌ مَعْلُومٌ and وَلَا تَمْيِيزٌ صَالِحٌ بِأَنْ تَكُونَ الْاِسْتِحَاضَ مُسْتَمِرَّ مِنْ أَوَّلِ مَا رَأَتِ الدَّمِ وَدَمَهَا عَلَى صِفَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَعَلَى صِفَاتٍ مُضْطَرِبَةٍ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ تَكُونَ حَيْضًا فَهَذَا تَعْمَلْ بِعَادَةٍ غَالِبٍ So there's another situation where she's unable to recognize, which means that the bleeding itself is it's not very consistent. Meaning, what do I mean by it's not very consistent? This one day it's this way, the other day it's that way, and it's just like it's all over the place, right? But she's bleeding, but she can't recognize, she can't distinguish which one's menstrual blood, which one's not menstrual blood, based on the characteristics and attributes of these menstrual blood. And then in this case, what should she do? Then she should look at the general, the average or the normal for her age and her area. Why do we mention her age and her area? Because women of different age, they have different cycles. And if in colder countries and warmer countries, it's different. So like generally, people who live in warmer climates tend to have menstruation. And they reach puberty actually earlier than those who live in colder climates. And that's something that's very, very well known. And so, an example of this is أَنْتَرَى الدَّمْ أَوْلَ مَا تَرَاهُ فِي الْخَامِسِ مِنَ الشَّهَرِ. So let's say a woman sees, the first time she sees the bleeding itself is on the 5th of the month. And وَيَسْتَمِرْ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَكُونَ فِيهِ تَمْيِيزٌ صَالِحٌ لِلْحَيْضِ وَلَا بِلَوْنٍ وَلَا غَيْرِ. So she has the bleeding, but she's unable to distinguish. She's unable to distinguish based on color or based on the characteristics of the blood itself. فَيَكُونْ حَيْضُهَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَهْرٍ سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ أَوْ سَبْعَةٍ تَبْتَدِئُ مِنَ الْيَوْمِ الْخَامِسِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَهْرٍ. So when does she begin though? So if the first time came, it came on the 5th day of the month, right? If it came on the 5th day of the month, then every time the 5th day of the month, that's when she, and it continues all the way of course, then in the 5th day of the month, she calculates her, she doesn't pray on those days. So let's say it's a woman, she has her menses, and it continues to be hayud, continues all the way through. It continues all the way through. All the way. And then when does she start to pray and not pray? From which day? She starts on the 5th. Because that's when the bleeding started. So she stops praying on the 5th. And then she doesn't pray for 5, 6, or 7 days or whatever it is that the average that people have in her area have. And so that's why this is for someone who cannot distinguish the different types of blood. And this is another from hadith of Himnah bint al-Jahsh radiallahu anha, annaha qalat, so Himnah bint al-Jahsh, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, inni ustahadu haydatin kabira shadida. She said, I have a very, I have a heavy bleeding, hayd, menstrual bleeding, and it's very, it's heavy and often. فَمَا تَرَى فِيهَا قَدْ مَنِعَتْنِي صَلَاةُ وَالصِّيَامُ. So what do you think, like it's preventing me from praying and fasting? And فَقَالْ, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he says to her, he tells her to take kursuf, which is cotton at that time, and to put it there, in other words, to block it out if it's a lot, if it's a lot, you try to use. In other words, nowadays in the old days they used to use cotton and whatever they could find. Of course, mainly they would use cotton for what women use right now. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when that happens and when it's a lot, then do that. And so the Prophet said, innama hadha rakdatun min rakadat ash-shaytan. The Prophet said, this is the flow of the menstruation from menstruation here. He says, rakda means sort of like a flow. So this particular flow is a flow that's from the flow of shaitan. فَتَحِيضِ سِتَّةَ أَيَّامَ أَوْ سَبْعَةٍ فِي عِلْمِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Said, as for your hayd, your menses, it's 6 or 7 days in, not with the knowledge, surely is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, ثُمَّ اغْتَسِرِ حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَيْتِ أَنِّكِ قَدْ تَهُرْتِ وَاسْتَنْقَيْتِ فَصَلِّي 24. In other words, once you're sure after this, and why the Prophet, the companions, why did the scholars use this hadith? Because there's no mentioning of the different types of blood. She says it's just the bleeding is just all over the place. In other words, all over the place. It's not consistent with anything. So the Prophet said, well, then the average normally is 6 or 7 days. So you just stop praying those days. And the rest of the days, then you فصلي أربعا وعشرين أو ثلاثا وعشرين ليلة وأيامها وصومي. And of course, the remaining days, whether it's 27 days of the month or the other, 24 days or 23 days, you know, the days and nights, the remaining, then you pray and you fast like you normally would fast. And this hadith indicates that when a person doesn't recognize, doesn't realize how many, and you can't distinguish the blood, then you take the average. And of course, this is a continuation of that. And so, anyways, why are we speaking about this? Like most of you guys here are, well, of course we have sisters also who will be listening. And so they're learning from that. And this is a very, very important part of our deen. Why? Because prayers and fasting is part of our deen and worship. And it's based on that. So a woman will know whether she's bleeding or not. And if she has any questions, inshallah, you know, for the brothers who are here, it's easier for you to, you know, if you know it, it's easier for the sisters to actually go and ask. So these ahadith are about menstruation and called al-istihada. We'll move on to the hadith, the next hadith, inshallah, which is 58 from Aisha radiallahu anha, Anna Umm Habiba ustuhilat sab'a sinin. So Umm Habiba, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that Umm Habiba, she had istihada sab'a sinin for seven years. Fasa'alat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in thalik. So she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about it. فَأَمَرَهَا أَن تَغْتَسِلَ فَكَانَتْ تَغْتَسِلُ لِكُلِّ صَلَاتٍ فَكَانَتْ تَغْتَسِلُ لِكُلِّ صَلَاتٍ. So she, Habiba, used to have istihada, and it was continuous for 7 years, she says. And so she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَمَرَهَا أَن تَغْتَسِلَ فَكَانَتْ تَغْتَسِلُ لِكُلِّ صَلَاتٍ. So here, in this particular hadith, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it, and here it says, and the Prophet فَأَمْرَهَا أَن تَغْتَسِلَ, and so the Prophet ordered her to wash up. فَكَانَتْ تَغْتَسِلُ, and she makes ghusl for every single prayer. And we'll mention this hadith later, inshallah. We'll come back to another hadith in relation to that. And there are other hadith also in relation to a personal istihada. So this is an indication that she used to make ghusl, right? Make ghusl for every single prayer. And so, does a person make ghusl for every single prayer? Inshallah. So right now, based on that particular hadith, it seems like it would be very, very, it's very, very difficult, right? Like she's making ghusl for every single prayer. So based on that particular hadith. And so what did the scholars mention in relation to this and all the other hadith? Because you have to look at all of them put together, inshallah. So what we're going to, what I want to speak about right now is some of the other acts before we move on to that, some of the other rulings that is connected with al-istihada. So we said that if a person has urinary incontinence, right, when they can't control the urine. So notice that the Prophet also ordered her to put, you know, to keep it in, so that, you know, your clothes doesn't get dirty also. So if someone has urinary incontinence, it's the same way, that if it's, you know how some people, they have, for men, they have sometimes, what do they call them? Diapers, right? Male diapers. And if you don't have that, then you just get a lot of toilet paper. Right, you get a lot of toilet paper and you put it in that area, or you can use anything to protect, so you protect your soul that your clothes doesn't get dirty. And then after that you make wudu, even if it comes, then you continue to do so, you can continue to pray. So another thing is also another thing is Some people have not just urine, but sometimes they have like a gas, right? Either it comes from the front or the back. The rule, and some people can't control that also, and so it's just, and this is not just, you know how sometimes you might eat beans or you might eat some things that are, some people who are lactose intolerant, they might drink milk, and it causes them to, if you can hold it, then it's okay to hold, if you can hold it, but for some people, they really can't hold it, it's just too much. Right, and if they try to hold it, it becomes very, very harmful. In other words, why is it harmful? Like, it's difficult because number one, you lose all concentration in prayer. Right, you lose all concentration. If you're trying to hold it and it's like really difficult to do so, sometimes, once in a while, that's something else. But if it comes all the time, then of course that becomes, you know, something that's very, very difficult, and especially to hold it. And every single time you pray, if you know that you can hold it, right? So let's say, for example, let's say if someone is able to hold it for a certain amount, and then they can't hold it enough. Let's say the prayer in the masjid is not too long, but it's longer. But if they were to be able to pray shorter prayer, and then they would still be able to hold it. So in this case, let's say, for example, like, you know, if I pray at home, if I make wudu right now at home, I'll be able to pray the prayer if I pray quickly. But if I go to the masjid, it might be a little bit longer, so I might not be able to do so. So in this case, what should a person do? If you're able to pray, let's say you have gas, and you're able to hold it, and should you go to the masjid to pray? Because if you pray at home, you can pray without breaking your wudu. But if you go to the masjid, then that extra requirement would cause you to not be able to hold it, and you won't be able to hold it. And so you get to the masjid, and the prayer is a bit longer than usual. In this case, you should, if you're in that particular situation, if it's not mandatory like Jum'ah prayer, then you can pray at home. You can pray at home, so you can pray like with the proper, with everything that's proper. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And but also, al-mustahaba. Another thing with is it permissible for a person who has istihaba or urinary incontinence? Is it permissible for them to come to pray, let's say, pray Isha prayer, right? To pray Isha prayer. And then it's a continuation. The next prayer is Tarawih prayer, like in Ramadan. Can they pray with that one wudu in continuation for, like if a woman has istihada, for example. And you know that when you're praying Isha, after Isha, the Tarawih prayer is going to be very long. So do you have to go make wudu over again to pray your Tarawih prayer? Because the ruling is that any prayer that is connected to it, you can pray. So if it's Dhuhr prayer, and then you can pray the sunnahs that are connected to Dhuhr before and after. Right? Before and after. So if you have istihada or if you have urinary incontinence. But how about Tarawih prayer in Ramadan? Because Ramadan prayer is very long. It seems like it's a separate prayer. Wallahu a'lam, the majority of the scholars some scholars are of the opinion that she can continue to pray with that particular wudu of Isha. She can, particular, and this is there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Some scholars have said, she has to make wudu again because it's a long prayer, it's a separate prayer, it's not connected to the Isha prayer itself. It's a different prayer. It's Qiyam al-Layl. So the stronger opinion is if it's connected, you don't have to go outside the masjid as long as it's continuation. Because most of the time we pray Isha, after you pray Isha, what do you pray? Tarawih comes right away. It's a continuation of that. So it would be a continuation of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So a person who has all of this, of course, is connected to actually a type of sickness, you know, type of sickness. And so anytime there's sickness, there's also takhfif, which means there's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us. And so if a person wants to, if it's very difficult for them, are they allowed to combine the prayers? Are they allowed to combine their prayers? So the example is, let's say, if it's, you know, of course it's difficult for them to pray and to hold their wudu. So, and if they can hold their wudu, let's say, for example, if they were to pray dhuhr, but it's the end of dhuhr prayer. You understand? At the end of dhuhr prayer. And they prayed at the end. As soon as they finished the dhuhr prayer, the asr prayer has already arrived. Do you understand? So it's not something that is long. It's something that is like immediate. Once you pray, it's something that's immediate. And what do I mean by immediate? So if you pray again right away, it's like you're combining the prayer, like you're praying only at the same time pretty much. But it's actually at a different time. It's actually at a different time. So in this case, is it permissible for that person? Because the time is always, it's almost connected. Right, almost always connected. It's like you're praying the next prayer, whether it's sunnah or whether it's not, it's the same amount of time. Asr has already come in. You pray dhuhr, you finish, it's already come in. So are you allowed to, you know, do you have to go and make wudu now? Because the ruling is that you should make wudu for every single prayer. Right, so for every single prayer. And here, there's no time between those two prayers. So is it permissible for that person to pray with that particular wudu? And in this case, and Allah subhanahu knows best, it's permissible for a person to combine the prayer, like for example, dhuhr and asr, or isha and maghrib, if they want to. Yeah, and they want to, why? Because of the condition, because it's very difficult for them. The difficulty of making wudu twice is a difficulty that whenever there's difficulties and hardships when it comes to prayer, then the combining of it is permissible based on the difficulties and the hardships of prayer when it's not normal, when a person is like not normal. Just like, you know, when we have like irregular situations, like when we have snow or heavy rain where it's difficult for people to come to the masjid, or it's a nighttime when it's dark and it's raining, or if it's extreme cold, like so cold that it's, you know, people might become sick. If they come to the masjid, they might have, you know, frostbite to the point where, you know, I know like some people live in Minnesota and so forth, in some areas where you go, it's minus 30 or minus 20 degrees. It's not even safe to go out and stay there for a long time, where even school is canceled or bus routes are canceled because they don't want children staying outside so long for those buses. And so those irregular circumstances during storms and things like that, if a person wants to combine the prayer because of those difficulties, you know, you don't want to come to the masjid back and forth, it makes it difficult, then that's why you can combine prayer in the masjid when there is difficulty. It's not the actual rain in and of itself, it's the difficulty that's associated with that. So when a person has menstrual bleeding, it's mustahada, then in this case, some of the scholars are of the opinion that it's permissible for her to, because of the wudu for every single prayer, that person is allowed to combine their prayer to make it easier for them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it, you know, made this deen eased, and the ease is actually built into this the religion in itself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And of course, there's as I mentioned, there are difference of opinion in relation to this, but many of the contemporary scholars, especially amongst them also, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, where he said it's permissible for a woman who have istihada or in urinary incontinence to combine their prayer. So this is these are just some of the hadith relating to al-istihada, and we'll come back to some more hadith inshallah in relation to hayl. But she should make wudu for every prayer. Does she have to make ghusl for every single prayer? She doesn't have to make ghusl for every single prayer. And that's, of course, ghusl itself for every single prayer is something also of a difficulty. And so in Islam, of course, a woman who has menstruation, it's not something that is, first of all, it's not in her control, and there are certain things that are prohibited when it comes to when she's in her menses. Next week, inshallah, we'll mention some of the things that are prohibited for a woman also. What are the things that she can do and what she can't do? Whether it's, can she recite Quran? Can she come to the masjid when she's in her menses? And because, you know, in the previous scriptures and the people before, the Jews, for example, when a woman has menses, they leave. They actually, some of them, they send their wives back to their parents' house. Like, they're not even allowed to stay in the same house. And forget about, you know, sleeping with your wife. But in Islam, it's not permissible for us to have marital relations. But it's permissible anything less than that. And what do we mean by that, inshallah? Next week. Next week we'll be speaking about that also, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefit us and benefit that which has taught us. Anyone have any questions in relation to this? If not, inshallah, we'll continue next week.